Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, a really busy weekend. Impressive performances for both men's and women's basketball in their first week of the season. Football was in a battle for first place in the Sun Belt West. But we're going to start with a Western Division championship for A-State volleyball. What a weekend at First National Bank Arena. Volleyball team entering Friday, tied for first in the West with South Alabama. Just so happened to be playing South Alabama in the final two home matches of the season, and everything went right. 1-4 sets both Friday, 4 sets again on Saturday, and the Red Wolves clinched the West for the first time since 2016.
Yeah, and dropped the first set Friday night in tough fashion. Had a couple of set points, didn't convert, lost 28-26, so then just came back and won the next three. And maybe even won the first set Saturday by like a 28-26 score or something. This team just keeps doing it. It's funny, in talking with Coach Gerwig kind of along the way, it's like his approach has cracked me up, because not that he is a doomsday guy, but he's always been like, okay, well, we had this good start, we're here, so now, hey, no matter what, we matched last year's win total. It's always, if we don't win again, we've already won more conference matches than last year. And at one point, well, if we don't win again, we know we're going to be over 500. And so he's running the numbers here. If they don't win another match all year long, and in the meanwhile, they just keep winning and winning and winning. And yeah, Saturday, able to clinch the division. And I know you're wondering how that works.
Well, I was, because about 30 minutes before we sat down to record this, I was looking at the standings, and I sent you a text, and then I sent Caleb Garner the same text, just wondering how in the world we are already Western Division champions when we're 12-2, Texas State is 11-3, and they're still... Two matches to go in the regular season. I'll let you explain.
Well, to your point, it's funny because we are the West Division champions. And I certainly don't think, and absolutely don't hope this is going to happen, we could end up with the second best conference record in the West Division still. But it's interesting because
it's not like other sports.
Because they do play the divisions, and because I guess there's five teams in each one that go to the tournament or whatever. They base it strictly off your record in the division, because you play an unbalanced schedule. Not everybody's playing the same teams from the East.
Right.
And so you are going to play everybody in your division, so they make those the ones that matter in terms of seeding it out for the conference tournament. So we have clinched a better record against West Division teams than Texas State can reach.
The Red Wolves will finish out the regular season at Old Dominion Thursday and Friday. We mentioned first Western Division title since 2016, but they're 22-4 overall now. They're 12-2 in the league. Finished the season unbeaten at home. First time that's happened since 2015. The home win streak dating back to last year now at 13, and it's their seventh straight win overall, and that's the longest win streak since 2017. So all kinds of good stuff going on with that volleyball program, and congratulations to Brian Gerwig. I almost said Coach Gerwig, but nobody calls him that. Brian Gerwig and his team. Moving on. Women's basketball started their season this past week. They had lost the season opener at Western Michigan back on Monday. 61-52 was the final score in that game. And Western Michigan, one of those teams that really want to slow you down. And the Red Wolves led most of that game. Western Michigan was able to come back and win. Now, A-State had what seemingly was a much bigger task in front of them, going on the road, playing a Big 12 opponent on Friday. You were back on the road
with Yes.
women's basketball, just like old times, as you went to Tempe to call this Arizona State game on Friday afternoon. And The pace was just a little bit different. After the Red Wolves scored a total of 52 points on Monday, they scored 55 in the first half on Friday and went on to win it 100-96.
Yeah, so this game was a lot of things, and boring was not one of them. Momentum swings back and forth, and each team had and lost double-digit leads somewhere along the way. We were down 11 in the first half, went on a big run to take the lead at the half, come from 11 down, actually go up at the break. It's hard to explain because it was just as wild a game as you would think a game with 196 points scored would be. Came out to start the fourth quarter, I think, just count and hit three straight threes, boom, 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 and all of a sudden you look up and you're into the fourth quarter and you're up by 13.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, well, I mean, check this out. And they had another run in them. They had a big kid that we couldn't stop, and I could say that because we wouldn't be alone in that category. There were times where she'd just catch it and score over two defenders, just couldn't do anything about it. And she led them on a run, and to the point where they actually took a one-point lead at one point. And you're like, golly, dude, is this thing going to slip away? And you went down and got the last 5 points, all from Chrislyn Rose.
How about Chrislyn Rose? 33 points. And it's not like she put up 30 shots. She put up 16 shots and made 12 of them. Just incredibly efficient.
Played 25 minutes.
Wow.
Scored 33 points. It was quite a performance, especially if you watched this team last year. I mean, you just knew that the kid was struggling. She was the only true freshman on the team last year. And you just see her struggling with things freshmen struggle with. I mean, they had so much faith in her and thought so much of her. And knew the upside, and it just wasn't happening. Whether it's all the things you hear with freshmen, whether the speed of the game or the physicality, or for whatever reason, it just didn't click for her often enough or fast enough. She's only one of three returners back.
Yeah.
And I went and watched them, and it's the truth. I went and watched them one time in the preseason, and it really wasn't even the day they were scrimmaging. It was just a run-of-the-mill practice. And I came back from that practice, and the next time I talked to Coach Dez after that, I said, Chrislyn Rose is different. You could see it physically. You could just see the way she handled herself out there. It was all clicking. You know, Dez already just couldn't say enough good things about her. And to see her go out with this performance, and it wasn't like having to, like you said, take a flood of shots to score a bunch of points. It was, if you can score 33 points, including your team's last five to win the game and do it in 25 minutes, and it be quiet.
That was it.
She did it.
Well, you mentioned Coach Rogers. What a day for Dez, because it was her birthday on Friday. What a birthday present that was, going on the road and beating a P4 opponent. But you and I were talking on the phone. I was on my way to Lafayette on Saturday, and you told me that morning that, I guess, just talking with her earlier in the week, and look, Destiny Rogers is an optimistic person, and that's one of the things we really, really like about her, but she was confident going into that game.
Yeah, she was about this team. I mean, when I sat down with her, because, you know, I'm going to do their TV games at home, and they had all these newcomers, so I had one time just gotten on her schedule, and we sat down together for 30 minutes and went just kid by kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you leave that meeting going, well, gosh, hey, they might go undefeated. I mean, you know, I mean, here I was. I didn't know a thing about them when I walked in, and man, they're loaded. You know, because she loves this team. The vibe she gives them, and just, I mean, this team, I should tell you, was put together in her image. She's just a tough, hard-nosed dog, right? She was a point guard, and that's how she played. And she's got a team that plays like that. And even when going up to Western Michigan and scoring 50-something points and coming back the next day, that we sat with her over some stuff, and she still, again, convinced me they could go to Arizona State and have a shot. She said, I think we've got a shot to go out there and give ourselves a chance to win this game, and it's exactly what they did.
We talk about preseason polls and how they're absolutely meaningless. They can also be a source of inspiration as well. And kind of going back to the volleyball team, they were picked 6th out of 7 teams in the West, and they just wrapped up the Western Division title. And I know Brian Gerwig has used that as motivation. In fact, he put that up everywhere Destiny Rogers understands that those preseason polls are largely based off last year and what you have coming back. As you mentioned, there's only three returners back from a season ago. So the women's team was picked way down toward the 13th, bottom of the conference. 13th out of 14. She can kind of use that as motivation
she
as
can.
Well.
And it's true because, like, I mean, you and I have always felt the same about preseason polls. I mean, they're just all they are is crap to talk about. And they're nothing else. But now, in this day and age, they're more worthless than ever. And A-State, case in point, how are you going to go put a team in a preseason poll that you don't know a damn thing about? They got three kids on that team that played a year ago. And you're going to go try to figure out where to rank them. I mean, it's just, it's goofy. And I don't know that if this stayed the climate in college athletics, if they
would eventually just... It's going to be tougher and tougher to predict.
...do away with, but they're completely worthless unless... You need to take them as fuel, and hopefully his team can build off that. And then, you know, when you get to conference play, use that as some fuel.
Let's talk about the men. What an opening week it was. And, you know, it started with that victory on Monday night over Akron. Overtime thriller in front of 4,600-plus at First National Bank Arena. Largest home crowd for an opener in 22 years. It was fantastic. Just the number of people that were there and the support right out of the gate. And they did it without Isaiah Nelson, who should be one of the best players in the entire league this season. We certainly expect that. And they were without Zay again on Friday night when they went to second-ranked Alabama. And looking at the schedule, it was easy to see that this was going to be the biggest test of the entire season. It's the highest-ranked opponent that an A-State team has ever played, playing a number two team, a team that was in the Final Four a season ago. I'll tell you some things about Alabama, too. They've got six players on that roster that have scored over 1,000 points in their careers. No other team in the country can say that. Three players that have played over 100 games in their careers. No other team in the country can say that. So the experience is there. They are absolutely loaded. I was doing my scouting report visit with Jamie Corrals, our associate head coach, before the game, and he said, hey, it's an easy scout. I mean, we do the same stuff. It's basically watching each other on film. So it came down to personnel who can go out there and execute. Again, you're going without Zay, and it was one of the wildest first halves I've ever seen, ever. It was nuts because there were a combined 31 fouls in that first half and 53 free throws in the half. It took over an hour and 5 minutes to play the first 20 minutes of that game. And it's not like it was one-sided as far as the foul count. It was like 16 for one side, 15 for the other. And one team had 27 free throw attempts and the other team had 26. So it was the same on both ends. Now, what kind of threw a wrench in it was two of our starting backcourt, Darian Ford and Taron Todd, both had two fouls less than 90 seconds into the game. You got two of your best players automatically in deep foul trouble right out of the gate. But, man, they just steadied the ship. It was a 16-point deficit with 6 minutes to go in the first half, and our guys closed the half on an 18-5 run. So it's a three-point game at halftime. We're down 43-40, and Alabama stretched it back out to double digits at one point in the second half, and then our guys come back and actually tie the game at 68 with under 7 minutes to go, and we actually have a chance here against the number two team in the country. But, you know, Alabama able to pull away and win at 88-79, but I know there's no such thing as moral victories, and Coach Hodson certainly isn't a moral victory type of guy, but, man, if there were ever a loss you can be encouraged about, that was it.
Or one that sure doesn't do anything to kind of take the shine off of you. People are excited anyway, and then that just a rare time where you can go not win a game and have people come out maybe more excited about you.
Yeah, there's not too many times you can say that. The numbers were pretty much identical. The shooting numbers for both teams. Both teams shot 40% from the field. You know, we shot 21% from three. We're not usually going to shoot that low of a percentage from outside. Both teams were 64% from the line, although we were 9 of 10 from the line in the second half. And I thought we had some individuals that stood out. Kobe Julian with 20 points. Terron Todd had 18. Rashad Marshall, who's filling in for Zay, he was really, really good. 11 points and 8 rebounds. After the game, I drove. Mark Taylor and I were driving. We went halfway from Tuscaloosa to Lafayette, and we stopped in Hattiesburg. Exhausted, I turn on the TV before I go to bed, and there's a full highlight package of our game on SportsCenter. And I'm thinking, man, that's cool. But that's what happens when you take the number two team in the country down to the wire.
And it was that. I'm sitting, at dinner. I'm in Arizona watching it on the phone, and I'm just like, my goodness, and telling my wife, golly, we're down 6 with 7 or 8 minutes to go here. Oh, we're down 4 here. We're down 2 here. We just tied this up. It's just like, good grief.
I was thinking the same thing, and I was there calling it and just had a blast watching our guys perform the way they did. Now, we got national attention for the performance on the floor, but got a whole lot of social media attention for what happened on the way to Tuscaloosa because the bus broke down. I guess if you're going to take a bad situation and make it good, turn lemons into lemonade, this was that kind of situation because the bus did break down, but Coach Hodson, along with the help of Avery Feltz, Rashad Marshall, and a mechanic on FaceTime, were able to replace a belt on the side of the road on the team bus and get them back on the road again. And I know there were some outlets tweeted that out, the picture of Coach Hodson.
I saw that picture 800 times.
It was pretty neat to see. So great exposure there, even though the bus broke down. And, Coach Hodson gave a lot of credit to the bus driver as well when we were talking about it before the game on Friday. But anyway, good things going on with both basketball teams, and we'll talk a little bit more about what they have coming up when we continue along on the Second to None podcast right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, and most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program. Wolves up.
Back on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. The football team was on the road Saturday as they were in Lafayette taking on the Raging Cajuns. First place on the line in the West, and it was a weird day from the start. Number one, the weather is kind of what we were thinking about all day long. And it's one of those from a broadcast standpoint where I'm trying to plan. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the forecast, and I see, and it had been all week long, that chance of rain just kept on going up. And it wasn't just rain. When you're looking at the hour-by-hour forecast and you see that lightning bolt every single hour of the day, you're thinking, oh, no.
Because it doesn't have to rain to drop.
Yeah. The lightning delay is what scares you. The chance just kept going up and up and up. And I get up Saturday morning, and the first thing I do is look at my phone and see what the weather is. And it's gone up to 100%. 100% chance of thunderstorms. And you see that lightning bolt on the graphic, and you're thinking, oh, no, I'm going to have to plan for what we're going to do on the broadcast if and when there's a lightning delay. So you start reaching out to people, say, hey, be ready. This is what we're going to do in this situation. And Larry Lacewell's not around anymore to kill time during a weather delay like he did so well back in 2007 against Memphis. But that's one thing we were all prepared for. And even 1, 2 o'clock rolls around, 100% chance from 3 o'clock all the way through midnight of thunderstorms. We never saw a drop.
Yeah.
Never. Not that we were disappointed. We didn't have any delays in the game, but it just was an ominous feeling around that entire game. And it's different because that stadium's under construction, and it was weird. I mean, you would kind of feel out of sorts being there on the other side of the stadium from where we normally are. The longtime press box, thankfully, has been torn down. Not our favorite. They're building an immaculate building now with 85 suites on that side of the stadium. And then they're going to build a tower for press and athletic administration offices on the other side. But we were on the other side of the stadium. We're looking across, and there's just nothing but empty seats over there. About two-thirds of the stadium, the end zones and the visiting side, are where people can sit. And maybe there's 12, 13,000 people they can get in there. So it was a little bit of a different feel.
Folks have no reason to know this, but they could have made a little money for this project by auctioning off just amongst the other broadcasters in the league the right to come take a sledgehammer and knock the walls of the old visiting radio booth down.
I would have signed up.
Because, by the way, the whole point is that you couldn't take a full swing and you'd hit both walls.
It was tiny. I hated that booth. And I will tell you, they built us a temporary booth on the other side, light years better than what we had. And it's really low, so it was great. Easy place to call a game the other day on the top of the concourse level on that visiting side.
Same thing. That kind of goes back like the men's basketball game. I'm sitting in a restaurant, and I told you the name of it before we went on the air. Saturday, kind of keeping up with before our game even started. It's the same thing. I've opened up my weather app and called up Lafayette, and I'm looking at, you know, I'm texting Mark Taylor, like, hey, what are they talking about here? And honestly, I had fans texting me Saturday morning, and I'm still in Arizona, like, what are they going to do here? Like, I mean, what happens if they don't get this in? What? That's like, I don't know. I mean, so everybody kind of had their at least being delays, if not a full on postponement, kind of at the front of their mind.
Yeah, there wasn't lightning within 50 miles of us the other night. So
it's amazing.
It worked out from a weather standpoint. But on the field, disappointing because there were high hopes, I think, going into that game because Coach Jones had talked about it going in and thought that we had two of our better, more physical practices of the entire season on Tuesday and Wednesday. Thought the guys felt confident. Now, we did lose one of our starting defensive ends and Jaden Jones late in practice on Thursday, so he was not able to go on Saturday, which he's been really good for us. And you remember his dominant performance a few weeks ago that got him Defensive Player of the Week in the Sun Belt and that win at Southern Miss, but had to go without Jaden. Ethan Hassler went down again early in this game, another one of your defensive ends. And things just seemed to snowball. We threw an interception that they turned into points. We get the ball back. We drive into their territory. And then we have back-to-back drops on third and fourth down. A couple of plays that would have been first downs and even gotten us into the red zone. And it was just that kind of thing. Nothing was going right. And before you know it, I mean, the Cajuns are up 31-0 late in the second quarter. Now, Adam Jones makes a great touchdown catch at the end of the half. We have a great drive early in the third quarter. We're running it right down the field. Zach Wallace gets a touchdown, makes it 34-12. And then right after that, look like we're going to force a three and out. And it's 3rd and 9, and we get called for a face mask. And it keeps their drive alive. They go down and score, and that was pretty much it. There's still a lot to play for, though, because this team's sitting at 5-4. They're 3-2 in conference play. And Coach Jones said in his post-game interview, he said, hey, we're going to sit down with the guys on Sunday. We're going to look at the film, and we're going to tell the truth, and we'll see how they react. He still believes in this team, and there's still a lot they can do.
Well, it's a chance to finish it with 9 wins.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But, you know, I mean, it's just going to be, I mean, obviously a lot of turbulence between now and then because that's just the life week to week in the Sun Belt. There's just, and not to kind of sound like a broken record, but I just don't know. I don't know a result in this league between any two teams that would shock me. Because you're going to go, well, okay, well, who doesn't have very many wins? And, okay, well, let's go ahead and East. App State. You're going to tell me now you're going to get surprised if App State beats somebody? Or you go to the other side. Oh, boy. Look at her. Look who Troy slipped up and beat. They've only won the freaking thing the last 2 years. I mean, just a bunch of people beating up on each other. And so you know you're going to get into that three more times, and you could absolutely win all three of them and have an 8-win regular season ahead to a bowl game. So next up, trip to Atlanta.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Wolves up.
Things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Bowling team finished up the fall portion of their schedule with a ninth place finish out of 17 teams. That was at the Lady Jack Classic in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Of course, all the big stuff coming up in the spring for the bowling team. The cross-country teams, meanwhile, will compete at the NCAA South Regional Championships. That'll be in College Station on Friday. And, of course, they're both coming off second-place finishes in the conference meet. And on the men's side, you got Jacob Pyatt, who won the meet by a lot, 30 seconds or so.
Yep.
Has just been really, really competitive in every single one of his meets this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he does kind of on a larger scale now. So that's coming up on Friday.
It's kind of funny here. This actually, I think in our senior staff meeting last week, this came up going back to bowling. It's just like, you know, Valerie Greasy, who's administrative professional there with Jeff and does a lot on the admin side. She'll put these slides together of all who's where during the week competing. And, you know, it's like men's golf just went to Hawaii. And women's golf in the spring is going to Hawaii. And men's basketball is about to go to the Bahamas. And bowling this weekend's in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You know, and the national championships in Detroit. It's just like, man, so one of these things is not like the other here. Now, that's not – they go – I mean, it's no knock on those cities. It's just the destinations aren't quite the same for the
bowling. I know what you're
team.
Saying. Yeah, it's not quite as tropical in Kenosha as – the Bahamas. Mentioned the football team. Big contest coming up Saturday. Final road game of the season as they play at Georgia State. Kickoff Saturday at 4. Our coverage on the network at 2. You can also see it on ESPN+. But looking for bowl eligibility for a second straight year. Men's basketball, big week for them. A couple of home games against good opponents. I mean, we've talked about it ever since Coach Hodson arrived. He doesn't schedule bad opponents in the non-conference. And case in point, coming up Tuesday night, the day this podcast comes out, Tuesday night at 7, they'll take on a Little Rock team that was the Ohio Valley Conference preseason favorite and our longtime in-state rivals. So always fun when the Red Wolves and Trojans get together. It is still kind of weird for us not to be conference opponents. And then a Stephen F. Austin program that always seems to be good, and they're going to be in here Saturday at 2.
Yeah, a couple of good ones. I don't think Little Rock not being in the league is taking a lot of juice out of that rivalry. You know, I know for Coach Hodson's standpoint, he's been in that game one time, but he's looking forward to being in it the second.
Yeah, we were without Caleb Fields, and we lost Terrence Ford, and that's before we moved Taryn Todd to the point guard spot last year. So, yes, we were point guardless in that game in Little Rock, and it showed because, Caleb and T. Ford both went down early in that game.
And then Saturday afternoon, the construction, it's called, Built to Win, so in the student section, hopefully the construction theme. They'll come dressed to work in the student section. We're going to think, as long as nothing crazy happens on the shipping end, we're going to give them some hard hats Saturday in the student section.
Love it.
After, of course, this comes out of your – probably the Little Rock game maybe has already been played. And you listen to this. Had the Howl Towels from First National Bank at the Little Rock game. So a lot of stuff going on. Then, oh, yeah, in between there, you got the next game you're going to talk about.
Yeah, the women's basketball home opener coming off that big win over Arizona State. And they'll take on Mississippi Valley Wednesday night at 7.
And that one is we've sort of called it, even prior to the Arizona State win, a tip-off party. You got schedule magnets they're giving out for that. Plus, with the four-point win at Arizona State, that's now giving folks a chance to get $4 tickets. Celebrate that 196 victory. So $4 tickets, party favors, schedule magnets, and your first chance to see this team. And
what if we had won by one? Would we have done $1 tickets? Come on, marketing guy. Let's go.
Yeah, I wish we'd have won by 20. Made more money that way.
All right. Well, $4 tickets are still pretty darn good for Wednesday night.
Yeah, it should be fun. Like I said, and a chance to see this team, and which I was fortunate to get to do. Looking forward to, I know they're looking forward to getting on the home floor and playing in front of their fans for the first time.
All right, before we get out of here, how was it being back on the road again with women's hoops?
Well, listen, I mean, obviously, that's fun. I mean, you go call a win against a team in the Big 12, high resource place, in that style of game, 196. I mean, for Pete's sake, it's going to be hard to have a more fun call than that. You know, I was getting some calls and texts about, well, you're in now. And I was like, you know, and don't know, my wife thought that was as funny as I did. It just finally got to the point where she's like, do you want to do that? I was like, hey, well, number one, the chair ain't open. Like, right? I mean,
no,
let's, this is, I mean, this is all make-believe. I mean, I'm happy to go out once and thrilled to get a chance to call that. Matter of fact, we got in the car from the game, and this is the truth. We got in the car to leave the arena, and I looked at Paige, and I was thrilled that her schedule worked to where she could go out too. And I noticed she started out, she needed to do some work. So she was kind of sitting up toward the top, the concourse level, at some media tables. But then, like, by halftime or start of the second half, like, she's on the front row behind our bench, standing up and hollering. And but we got in the car, and I said, you know who this sucks for, right? I said, what? I said, Cade Carlton.
That's right.
It's a bad deal for Cade Carlton here to have to not have gotten that call. But it was a lot of fun, and really glad I got to see the team and see that game in person. And, yeah, look, I'll go back now over to my TV gig and just call home games.
What was that restaurant you were talking about earlier?
Well, it's pretty complicated. Of course, you spend a lot of time in that Phoenix and Scottsdale area, and you often spoke highly of it.
Yeah.
And we spent the day Saturday before our flight out in Scottsdale, that part of town. And we had lunch at as you would imagine, during college football, a very popular spot called, free plug, Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers.
I think that's my favorite name ever for a cheeseburger joint. You're getting right to the point.
Hey, yeah. Why mess around? Take away all the guesswork. But good spot, a great vibe, as you imagine. Covered up, people watching college football games. And anyway, I really enjoyed and appreciate the opportunity to, for one day, get in there. And, you know, I walked in mad because they had me sitting courtside by the bench. I don't like that.
No.
I felt squeezed in there, and like, I thought this was weird, some big-time joint here. I thought this was the
Big
P4.
12, yeah.
And here I am cramming in here. I didn't have very good attitude, but then all was forgiven. And David Stinchcomb, you know, the young man who covers it from a sports information standpoint, sitting beside me, and he's probably thinking, who is this fool doing all this hooping and hollering beside me?
Well, he found out real quick, I'm sure. Fun weekend for you. I'm glad you got to enjoy it. Of course, I'm doing the crossover thing now. So
right.
It's just so – I love what I do. I really, really love what I do, 20 years in. But this time of year – there's nothing glamorous about it, because we took a one-way rental car and we drove to Tuscaloosa, Mark Taylor and I, on Friday. Have a blast. I really, really enjoyed calling that game Friday night. But right after it was over, We said goodbye to Brian Hodson. We drove 2.5 hours to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, stayed in a hotel there, checked in at 12:30, left a little bit after 8, drove the rest of the way to Lafayette and called a football game, yeah. Hopped on the team plane after that, and got back at midnight.
Yeah, so these are sort of opposite end experiences here. And that was the other thing I had to remind my wife. At one point when she said, do you want to do that again? I said, look, like, right, let's talk. That's the other thing. Let's get this. Like, we cherry-picked here, right? I mean, we
yes,
took
did.
Advantage of a situation, used leverage, but needed something called. We went and called the group. Like, there's a whole lot of trips. They won't be like this. I'm not going to name towns or whatever like I did with her, but that's, for every one of these, there's 5 XYZs. And, yeah, so you're right.
It's plenty of XYZs out there.
It's not very glamorous at times. And so I've gotten very lucky the last 2 years in a situation where there was a need and happened to be a good situation to help fill a need. I go out with the men to Palm Springs last year and call those tournament games. And
yes, you did.
Out to Arizona State with the women. That's cherry picking.
Fun episode. Always enjoy this part of it, and certainly enjoy everybody listening as
this
well.
This part, this is glamorous.
This is the easy part. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, everybody.